He told the puppeteer of the castle called Heaven, the map room, the screen, the maps and globes, the priest and his tales and his model of the universe. He had been answering questions for some time when he thought of one of his own. "Hey, is your translator disc working?"
"No, Louis. A short time ago, the instrument turned white hot before me, frightening me badly. Had I dared, I would have gone catatonic, but I knew too little."
"Well, the others are gone, too. Teela's burned its case and left a scar on her cycle. Speaker and I both got our hands burned. You know something? We're going to have to learn the Ringworld language."
"Yes."
I wish the old man had remembered something about the fall of the old Ring Society. I had an idea. And he told the puppeteer his theory of a mutating colonic bacterium.
"That is possible," said Nessus. "Once they lost the secret of transmutation, they would never recover."
"Oh, why not?"
"Look about you, Louis. What do you see?"
Louis did. He saw a lightning storm developing ahead. He saw hills, valleys, a distant city, twin mountain peaks tipped with the dirty translucency of raw ring flooring.
"Land anywhere on the Ringworld and dig. What do you find?"
"Dirt," said Louis. "So?"
"And then?"
"More dirt, bedrock, ring floor material," said Louis. And as he said these words, the landscape seemed to alter. Storm clouds, mountains, the city to spinward and the city dwindling behind, the edge of brilliance far away on the infinity horizon that might be a sea or a sunflower invasion. Now the landscape showed as the shell it was. The difference between an honest planet and this was the difference between a human face and an empty rubber mask.
"Dig on any world," the puppeteer was saying, "and eventually you will find some kind of metal ore. Here you will find 40 feet of soil and then the ring foundation. That material cannot be worked. If it could be pierced, the miner would strike vacuum, a harsh reward for his labor. Give the ring a civilization capable of building the ring, and it must necessarily have cheap transmutation. Let them lose the technology of transmutation, no matter how, and what would be left? Surely they would not stockpile raw metals. There are no ores. The metal of the ring would be all in machines and in tools and in rust. Even interplanetary capability would not help them, for there is nothing to be mined anywhere around this star. Civilization would fall and never rise."
Softly, Louis asked, "When did you figure this out?"
"Some time ago. It did not seem important to our survival."
"So you just didn't mention it." "Right," said Louis. The hours he'd spent worrying that problem. And it all seemed so vividly obvious now. What a trap. What a terrible trap for thinking beings. Louis looked ahead of him and was marginally aware that Nessus's image was gone. The storm was nearer now, and it was wide. Doubtless the sonic folds could handle it, but still. Better to fly over it. Louis pulled on a handle, and the fly cycles rose toward the world's gray lid, toward the clouds that had covered them since they reached the tower called Heaven. Louis's mind ran in idle. Learning a new language would take time. Learning a new language every time they sat down would be impossible. The question was becoming crucial. How long had the Ring natives been barbarian? How long since they had all spoken the same language? How far had the local languages diverged from the original? The universe blurred, then went entirely gray. They were in the clouds. Tendrils of mist streamed around the bubble of Louis's sonic fold. Then the cycles broke through into the sunlight. From the Ringworld's indefinite horizon, a vast blue eye looked at Louis Wu across a flat infinity of cloud. If God's head had been the size of the Earth's moon, that eye would have been about the right size. It took Louis a moment to grasp what he was seeing. For another moment, his brain flatly refused to believe it. Then the whole picture tried to fade like a badly illuminated holo. Through the humming in his ears, he heard and/or felt someone screaming. "Am I dead?" he wondered. "And is that Nessus screaming?" But he'd cut that circuit. It was Teela,
Tila, who had never been afraid of anything in her life. Tila covered her face with her hands, hiding from that vast blue stare. The eye lay dead ahead, dead to port. It seemed to be drawing them toward itself. Am I dead? Is the Creator come to judge me? Which Creator? It was finally time for Louis Wu to decide which Creator he believed in, if any. The eye was blue and white, with a white eyebrow and a dark pupil. White of cloud, blue of distance, as if it were part of the sky itself.
Louis! Tila screamed. Do something!
It isn't happening, Louis told himself. His throat was a column of solid ice. His mind ran about in his skull like something trapped. It's a big universe, but some things really are impossible.
Louis!
Louis found his voice.
Speaker. Hey, Speaker, what do you see?
The Kazin took his time answering. His voice was curiously flat.
I see a great human eye ahead of us.
Human?
Yes, do you see it too?
The word Louis would never have used made all the difference. Human. A human eye. If the eye were a supernatural manifestation, then a Kazin should see a Kazinti eye or nothing at all. Then it's natural, Louis told himself. It has to be. Tila looked at him hopefully. But how is it drawing them toward itself?
Oh, said Louis Wu.
He moved the steering handle hard right. The cycles curved away to spinward.
This is not our route, Speaker said instantly. Louis, bring us back, or put the fleet under my command.
You aren't thinking of going through that thing, are you?
It's too large to go around.
Speaker, it's no bigger than Plato Crater. We can circle it in an hour. Why take chances?
If you are afraid, drop out of formation, Louis. Circle the eye and meet me on the other side. Tila, you may do the same. I will go through.
Why? Louis's voice sounded ragged even to him. Do you think that accidental cloud formation is a challenge to your manhood?
My what? Louis, my ability to procreate is not at issue. My courage is.
Why? The cycles fell across the sky at cruising velocity, 1,200 miles per hour.
Why is your courage at issue? You owe me an answer. You're risking our lives.
No, you may go around the eye.
And how do we find you afterward?
The Kazin considered.
I concede the point. Have you heard of the Kadapt Preacher heresy?
No.
In the dark days that followed the fourth truce with man, mad Kadapt Preacher headed a new religion. He was executed by the Patriarch himself in single combat, since he bore a partial name, but his heretical religion survives in secret to this day. Kadapt Preacher believed that God the Creator made man in his own image.
Man? But Kadapt Preacher was a Kazin.
Yes. You kept winning, Louis. For 3 centuries and 4 wars you had been winning. Kadapt's disciples wore masks of human skin when they prayed. They hoped to confuse the Creator long enough to win a war.
And when you saw that eye peering over the horizon at us...
Yes.
Oh, boy.
I put it to you, Louis, that my own theory is more likely than yours. An accidental cloud formation, really, Louis.
Louis's brain was working again. Strike accidental. Maybe the ring engineers set up the eye formation for their own amusement or as a pointer to something.
To what?
Who knows? Something big. An amusement park, a major church, the headquarters of the optometrists' union. With the techniques they had and the room, it might be anything.
A prison for peeping toms, said Tila, suddenly getting into the spirit of the thing. A universe for private detectives. A test pattern on a giant tri-D set. I was as scared as you were, Speaker.
Tila sounded normal again.
I thought it was... I don't know what I thought, but I'm with you. We'll go through together.
Very well, Tila.
If he blinks, we'll both be killed.
The majority is always sane, Louis quoted. I'm going to call Nessus.
Finnegal, yes, he must have gone through it already or around it.
Louis laughed harder than he ordinarily would have. He'd been very frightened.
You don't think Nessus is breaking trail for us, do you? Huh? He's a puppeteer. He circled around behind us, then he probably slaved his cycle to speakers. That way, Speaker can't catch him, and any danger he's likely to meet, we'll meet first.